remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present The Case of the Dormitory Pet, starring George Murphy. Now to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Surprising crime story for you tonight, based on an actual happening. It centers around a mysterious little box. When that box is fastened to you with wires, it records exactly whether or not you are telling the truth. It's called a lie detector, and what it discovers tonight will amaze you as much as it did Officer John Gardner, who invented it. And I should say right here, you're going to like John Gardner, as he's played by one of the most likable and talented fellows from Hollywood, George Murphy. Show, George. You should feel right at home in our story tonight.
Well, I don't quite know how to take that, Les. Isn't the setting of a story in a girl's dormitory?
Yes. Yes, it is. And weren't you voted best beau by a sorority on the Southern California campus recently?
Les, I thought your specialty was making people feel at ease.
Oh, I don't need to worry about you. I noticed those girls rated you excellent conversationally.
Oh, no. You take all the honors there, Les. I couldn't do what you do.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, the way you lead every conversation in a Hallmark card.
Oh, but you've just done it yourself, George. You're the one who brought up Hallmark cards.
Oh, yeah. I said it, and I'm glad. Yeah, you're right. Since we're on the subject, I'd like to report that habit you started is certainly catching on.
Oh? What habit?
You know, turning the card over and looking on the back. Well, even my children look on the back of their birthday cards this year to see if there are Hallmark cards.
Well, now we are happy you're on this program tonight, George. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get over to the office of Police Officer John Gardner, where the phone is ringing, as usual. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition another true story, The Case of the Dormitory Thefts, starring George Murphy.
I was on the police force then, not an ordinary patrolman, perhaps. Because I'd studied criminology in college, and Chief Farnsworth hired me to do some special research in police science. Well, while I was experimenting in the lab with galvanometers and blood pressure devices, my fellow officers of the law were attending to the less romantic aspects of dealing with crime.
Police Department, Officer Wilson speaking.
Oh, this is Dorothy Brown, officer. I'm a student at the university.
Yes, Miss Brown?
Well, I'm not sure I should be telling you this, because the school authorities have been trying to keep it quiet, more or less. But I think it's time the police were called in.
Well, what is it you're referring to, Miss Brown?
Well, I'm calling to report a robbery, officer. Several robberies. Four of the girls in my dormitory have had things stolen from their rooms, and it just isn't safe for...
Well, now, just a minute, miss. I'd like to get this down. What was stolen from your room?
Oh, not my room. I haven't missed anything yet. But the other girls have lost jewelry and clothes and money and all sorts of things.
Oh, I see. You're just reporting this to me.
Yes, I'm reporting it because a thief might be living right here in the dormitory. At least the dean thinks so.
Thinks she's one of the girls?
Yes. That's why she hasn't notified the police. She wants to avoid a scandal.
Well, thank you for calling, Miss Brown. I'll look into it right away.
That's the way it started. Dorothy Brown reports a series of thefts in the dormitory she lives in. Officer Wilson takes on a case that seems to be fairly routine. But after he checks with the Dean of Women and gets a list of the stolen articles, he finds out the routine methods don't seem to work. Any one of the 90 girls living in the dormitory could easily be the guilty party. But they all come from good families, and not one of them has any apparent reason for stealing. So he comes to me.
What are you doing, Gardner?
Oh, just puttering around with this register, a few graphs. You see, this line measures blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And this one over here is for the rate of respiration.
Uh-huh.
They're interrelated, of course, but I have to synchronize them to measure the reaction.
Well, I wish you could measure my reaction. I feel like jumping into the bay.
Why, what's the matter? Oh, those co-eds got you down?
I'm stumped, Gardner. Stumped, baffled, and bewildered.
Why?
Because I've searched through every pawn shop and secondhand shop in this town, and not one of the stolen articles has turned up yet.
Well, maybe the thief is using a fence.
Ah, what do these college kids know about a fence? It can't be one of those girls. And yet it must be.
Must be?
Well, nobody else is allowed upstairs except the house mother and the cleaning woman, and they're both okay.
Well, then the rest should be easy. If you've narrowed the field down to somebody that lives in the dormitory.
I've narrowed the field down to 90 giggling suspects, and every one of them tells a different story.
Oh. Well, it's kind of too bad I haven't finished my experiments on this device here yet. Otherwise, I might be able to help you.
Well, with this contraption, what's it for?
Detecting lies. You see, it measures a person's physical reactions under cross-examination. And when a lie is told, it shows up on the graph here.
You mean it actually works?
Well, sure it works. Works in the lab swell. Of course, I haven't tested it on any real suspects yet.
Well, what are you waiting for? This is the perfect case.
Huh?
If you can tell me which one of those girls is lying...
Now, wait just a second, Wilson. I can't guarantee to find a thief for you.
Well, I'm not asking for a guarantee. You just tell me who's lying, and we'll find out who the thief is.
You won't if someone else refused to take the test. Don't forget, Wilson, we have no right to make them submit to it.
We won't make them submit to it, son. We'll ask every one of those 90 girls to give us their permission. And if anyone refuses, we'll have a pretty good idea of who's guilty. Miss Bear?
Yes, I'm willing to take the test.
Miss Brown?
Why, of course. I'm the one who called you, officer.
Miss Loudon?
Why, yes, you have my consent.
Miss Ramsey?
Yes, I'm willing.
Miss Wheelock?
Yes.
You're on your own from here in.
What do you mean?
Every one of the girls agreed to make the test.
Oh, I see. Nobody had to be persuaded.
Not a one. You've got 90 to pick from, son.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, Wilson. Now, it may not work, but I'd like to try it anyway. Just to save a little time. Who would you say is the least likely suspect of them all?
Least likely suspect? Well, that's a funny question.
Well, let me put it another way. What's the name of the girl who reported these thefts?
Oh, Dorothy Brown, why?
Well, I always feel that a person who reports a crime must have a pretty serious interest in the crime. You know, one way or the other. So I'd like to question her first.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we can eliminate her right off the bat. Either that or we'll find out that she's guilty.
Dorothy Brown?
Yeah, send her in, will you?
Right.
Yes, sit down, would you?
I'm so glad you called me first. I've been dying to know what sort of newfangled contraption you're going to use in these tests. Is this the machine?
Yes, sit down, won't you, please?
Well, don't you want me to sit over here near the lie detector?
Not just yet, Miss Brown. I'm not going to start these tests until you're completely relaxed. It would turn the reading off.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes, that's the way it works.
Well, I'm relaxed. I'm just fascinated by this wonderful machine, because if there really is such a thing as a lie detector, it'll solve a lot of crimes. Won't it?
I certainly hope so.
You invented it, didn't you?
Well, let's say that I put it together. It's just a combination of measurement devices, blood pressure, respiration, pulse rate.
Mm-hmm. What's that for, that round thing?
Oh, that's just a roll of paper. You see, everything is recorded so that I can examine the graph after we're finished.
Well... let's begin.
On the contrary, let's just forget about the lie detector for a while. You see, it really won't work unless you're perfectly relaxed.
Good heavens, do I seem nervous to you? I ought to take a course in leisure and idle conversation.
What are you studying, Miss Brown?
Sociology, mostly. I'm majoring in it, minoring in English Lit, with a smattering psychology on the side.
Sounds like quite a schedule.
Oh, it is. I know all about the cumulative aspects of culture, the theory of behaviorism, and the early sonnets of John Donne, but I still don't know how to fry an egg.
Well, maybe you won't have to.
People who know the cumulative aspects of culture usually do.
Oh, I don't know. I've studied a little sociology, too.
Yes, I know. I've seen you before, Mr. Gardner.
Oh, really? When?
When you were here at the university. You were a kind of permanent fixture at the library.
And you remember me?
How could I forget? Every time I wanted a book on psychology, you had it.
Oh, well, I guess I was writing my thesis then.
You must have been writing something important. You never noticed me.
Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. I certainly should have.
All right. I'll take it as a compliment.
Oh, good.
Am I relaxed enough for you now, Mr. Gardner? Or do I still have to wait to take the test?
Why are you so anxious about it, Miss Brown? You seem to be in a great hurry to get it over with.
Not at all. I could sit here and talk to you for days.
You must enjoy my company.
I do. You're a very interesting man, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you.
And a very charming one, too.
Well, perhaps we'd better begin. I stood there looking at her for a moment, and for the first time I realized what a remarkably handsome girl she was. There was no sign of nervousness about her now, and as I started through my long list of questions, I couldn't help but feel that she was lovely, very lovely to look at and to be with. So much so that the thought of her being a thief never entered my mind. And then I suddenly realized that some of the most hardened criminals and the most congenital liars have been known to be thoroughly delightful people. I continued with my questions. Tell me, Miss Brown, do your parents give you enough money to buy all the things you need at school?
Yes, I should think so.
Don't you ever run short?
Oh, occasionally. Don't you?
Miss Brown, I'll have to ask you not to keep looking at that. I'll show it to you when I've finished all my tests here.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to read a list of words to you. And after each one, I want you to tell me quickly what word or idea you associate with the one that I've just spoken. Do you understand that?
Yes, I think so.
Very well, let's try it. Desk.
Chair.
Tree.
Flower.
Crime.
Punishment.
Locket.
Picture.
Rock.
Stone.
Purse.
Money.
She answered easily, without hesitation, and I noted the effect on the grab. Keywords such as crime and purse had registered no change in her pulse or breathing. But all through the examination, I kind of had a feeling that she was hiding something. What it was, I didn't know. Then, late that afternoon, when I'd finished almost a third of the examinations, I received an urgent phone call.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes?
I've got to see you right away. It's terribly important.
What's the matter?
I can't tell you on the phone. Can you meet me to Hadley's restaurant in about half an hour?
Well, I wish you would tell me what this is all about.
I'll check when I see you. Will you be there?
All right, I'll be there in half an hour with Officer Wilkes.
Oh, no. No, I want you to come alone.
In just a moment with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, here's a message we know you will all be interested in.
This is Cy Harris. How are you tonight? You know, for more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why, when you're looking for distinctive greeting cards, it's important to look for Hallmark cards, because folks everywhere recognize that these are quality cards. In Hallmark cards, you'll find the beauty and charm of fine design. Heartwarming colors used with the greatest of care and good taste. And what's even more important, you'll always find a Hallmark card will say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So remember always to look on the back of the card you buy for those three little words that mean so much. A Hallmark card. Those three words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, once again, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, The Case of the Dormitory Theft, starring George Murphy.
Hadley's restaurant was a typical college hangout. You know, a crowd of underclassmen at the bar and a string of plastic top tables scattered along the wall. I couldn't find Miss Dorothy Brown, so I sat down at the table in the corner and started looking over my notes. Pretty soon, someone sat down beside me.
Hello.
Well, hello. Say, you're a little late, aren't you?
No, you're a little early.
Well, I came as soon as I could. The way you sounded on the phone, I thought it was an emergency.
It is.
Well, what's wrong?
I want
picked this place, we'd have had more privacy at Barnum and Bailey's.
Oh, this is good enough. We won't stay very long.
For heaven's sake, Miss Brown, why are you always so disturbed about everything?
You think I'm guilty, don't you?
Now, what makes you say that?
The way you look at me. The way you looked at me this morning.
This morning, I was looking at the grass.
That's what I mean. That machine of yours is awfully important to you, isn't it?
Well, I should think it would be. After all, I've spent the better part of 2 years perfecting it.
Well, it doesn't work.
Oh, why not?
Because I'm not the one who's been stealing.
My so-called machine didn't say you were.
Oh?
But now that you've gone out of your way to proclaim your innocence, I'm beginning to wonder if the machine does work, after all.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, what shall I say, Miss Brown? Look here, what are you trying to hide from me?
Nothing.
Well, you seem to be much too nice a girl to have stolen the money just for the amount that was involved. But it's quite possible that you did it for another reason.
I didn't do it at all. I can prove I didn't do it. That's why I called you.
I don't follow you.
Mr. Gardner, there's been another theft.
Hmm?
My diamond ring was stolen this afternoon. Just a moment. Oh. Oh, Mr. Gardner.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I thought this was Miss Brown's room.
Well, it is. I'm a roommate. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. I left Miss Brown downtown about an hour ago. I thought that she might have come back here.
No, I haven't seen her since before dinner.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're Miss, Ramsey, aren't you?
Uh-huh, that's right. You haven't called me in for a test yet, Mr. Gardner.
Well, we haven't quite reached your name on the list, but we will, Miss Ramsey.
Oh.
In the meantime, I wonder if you can tell me something about this ring that Miss Brown lost.
Ring?
A very expensive one, according to Miss Brown. She said it was worth about $600.
Oh, the solitaire.
Yes.
Did she tell you she'd lost it?
She told me it was stolen.
Well, why on earth did she say a thing like that?
Why? Wasn't it stolen?
Why, no. She gave it to me for safekeeping about a week ago. I've got it right here in my bag.
Gardner, we were supposed to start these tests at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I know.
The girls are waiting for you.
All right, I'll see them. I was up late last night thinking about the case, and I guess I overslept this morning.
You don't look as if you hadn't slept at all. What's the trouble?
This machine. It works fine when you've got it in a lab and your suspects don't care if they're caught or not. And I'm beginning to wonder if it's any good on an actual case.
Gardner, what are you talking about?
The lie detector. It passed right over the guilty party.
Well, how could it?
I don't know how it could, but it did. I've caught Miss Brown in the biggest lie she ever told, and the detector didn't even register it.
Mr. Gardner?
Just a minute. You can't come in here.
It'll be all right, Miss Wilson. Wilson, I'll start the other test in a few minutes. I'd like to speak to her.
All right, I'll call the girls.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Mr. Gardner, I owe you an apology. I made an awful mistake last night.
Yes, I guess you did. Did your roommate tell you about it?
Well, no, I haven't seen her. I stayed in town last night at Aunt's house. But I remembered what happened to my ring.
What happened to it?
Well, my roommate must have it. I asked her to keep it for me about a week ago, and then I forgot all about it. And that's why I thought it was stolen. I went to look for it in my jewel box yesterday, and it was gone.
I see.
Please believe me, Mr. Gardner. I wouldn't lie to you for anything in the world.
You're telling the truth?
I've always told you the truth.
All right, Miss Brown, I believe you.
Now you're lying.
Am I? I didn't know that I was a suspect. The test went on for several days, but I made no attempt to see Miss Brown again, and she made no attempt to see me. Oddly enough, I began to develop a new confidence in the lie detector again. Because it always seemed so infallible, catching little inconsequential lies that the girls didn't even know they were telling. Then I tested a girl by the name of Loudon, a rather plump little lady who seemed to react violently to almost everything. When I tried to quiet her nerves, she interrupted the examination to make an astounding confession.
I can't lie to you any longer, Mr. Gardner.
Oh, have you been lying?
Yes, deliberately, from the moment I came in here.
Why, Miss Loudon?
Because I know who did it.
Who committed the robbery?
Yes. She'll kill me if she ever finds out I told on her, but I've got to tell.
Why, of course.
I saw her do it, Mr. Gardner. I saw her take money off my roommate's desk, and I know she never gave it back.
Well, who was it?
Do you swear you won't tell her?
I give you my word, Miss Loudon. Who was it?
Dorothy Brown.
All
almost before she spoke, I had a feeling that she was going to say it. But I didn't repeat her statement to anyone, not even Officer Wilson, till I'd completed all the tests. When I was finished, he came in to see me.
What's the story, Gardner? Give me the latest results.
Well, I haven't completed the experiment yet.
Well, don't tell me you didn't detect any lies.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I discovered quite a few.
Well, all girls fib a little. I suppose you'll have to repeat some of the tests before you make up your mind.
No, my mind's made up already. But if you don't mind waiting a little longer, I'd like to give Miss Brown another test.
You want me to send her in, Gardner? She's right outside.
Will you? It's quite important.
Right. Oh, Miss Brown.
Yes?
Will you come in here, please? Mr. Gardner wants to see you.
Thanks, Wilson.
Don't mention it. I'll wait outside.
You want to see me, Mr. Gardner?
Yes. Sit down, Miss Brown.
Thank you.
No. Over here, next to the lie detector, please.
Oh?
With your permission, I'd like to make another test.
What for?
Well, there are quite a few things that have been puzzling me about you, Miss Brown. I think you can clear them up right now, if you will tell me the truth.
I've always told you the truth. But if you want to question me again, you're at liberty to do so.
Good. It won't take but a minute to get these straps adjusted. Here, there you are. Now, let's put the one on the other side. There we are. All right. Now we'll start. I'll turn on the recorder. Are you comfortable?
As comfortable as I ever am in your presence.
Why? Do I frighten you?
I didn't say you frightened me.
Well, what do I do to you? Now, don't lie, Miss Brown. Remember, the machine is on.
Suppose you just question me about the case and let it go at that.
But this is about the case. I'm trying to understand the motive for your strange behavior.
I won't answer silly questions, Mr. Gardner.
Then perhaps you'll answer this one. Here, read it. I've got it all written out for you.
What? What's the meaning of this?
I'm waiting for your answer, Miss Brown.
My answer is no, no.
Your answer is a lie, my dear.
How dare you?
Look at the detector. It's turning handspring.
The detector is lying.
It's a lie, Miss Brown, and this time I'm sure.
All right, I did lie to you just then, but I didn't before. Not when you were making the first test.
Please, please, I didn't say you were lying then. I want to know the truth now. Answer my question correctly.
You have no right to ask me.
Answer the question.
Of course I love you, you fool. It wasn't fair to make me admit it with a lie detector. Couldn't you tell it from the very beginning?
Well, no, darling, not from the very beginning. You see, I was a little busy trying to make an impression on you.
Oh, you weren't at all. You thought I was a thief.
Well, I really did suspect you for just a second. That is, until Miss Loudon spoke up. But when she accused you of stealing, she told the biggest lie of them all, and the machine practically jumped off the floor.
Miss Loudon? She's the one...
Beyond any question of doubt, I'll have to ask Wilson to have her picked up right away. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to put my arm around you.
But, Mr. Gardner...
Well, isn't that what a fellow generally does when he's about to kiss the girl that he's in love with?
Oh. Mr. Gardner, please.
Well, what's the matter?
Yeah, you're breaking the machine.
Shown on the lie detector, Miss Loudon confessed. And it was the first of many confessions which this graphic device has yielded to police officers in the years that followed. And while I am proud to have been the first to use it successfully, there is one person in this world who is a great deal prouder. My wife, whose maiden name was Dorothy Brown.
Ladies and gentlemen, George Murphy will be back in just a moment. But first, here is Cy Harris again.
I stopped at a Valentine counter today, and when I saw what fun folks were having, I thought of you. I thought I hope all our listeners see the wonderful Hallmark Valentines this year. They're really breathtaking, because the artists and writers who make Hallmark cards know just how to put that heartwarming quality into Valentines for you. There are Valentines with messages of affection for your friends. Valentines that are miracles of lovely color and design with tender sentiments. There are Valentines so clever, folks will show them to everyone they see. Then there are funny Valentines, too. Hallmark Valentines to make grown-ups as well as youngsters laugh aloud. And speaking of youngsters, you'll really be delighted when you see Hallmark Valentines for children. Many feature the animals children love. Many have funny verses, exciting tricks. And of course, there's nothing more thrilling for children than a Hallmark doll. Wouldn't you like to send the beautiful Queen of Hearts to some little friend of yours? But I hope you'll drop in at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and look at all the wonderful Hallmark Valentines tomorrow. And remember, there's added meaning when you send Hallmark Valentines. Those three little words on the back, a Hallmark card. Tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
Thank you, Cy Harris. And now, once again, here is the star of tonight's show, George Murphy. You were a very convincing detective, George, and we're certainly glad you got the girl.
So am I. You know, it must have been much more thrilling for the people to whom it really happened. I understand that the detective and his wife, that's the ones in our story, were listening tonight. I hope they enjoyed the performance. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to do a bit more detecting. I'd like to find out what goes on here on the night of Thursday, February the 12th.
Next week, we've got a terrific story about a fellow who got away with $30
million. $30 million? Hey, that's a lot of dough.
Yes. This fellow almost convinced the United States government that he owned the state of Arizona.
Sounds fantastic.
It's in the record, based on actual fact. You'll hear it next Thursday night when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring it to you from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine.
Wait a minute, you forgot something.
Who's going to play it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was saving that most important news for the last. Our star will be Joseph Cotton as the Baron of Arizona.
Kansas City, Missouri.